Support for WPR comes from Stone Harbor, a Door County resort and conference center overlooking the historic steel bridge in Sturgeon Bay. Details about hosting a wedding or conference are at stoneharbor-resort.com.
Support for WPR comes from Lawrence University in Appleton, home to 1,500 undergraduate students from nearly every state and more than 50 countries. Dedicated to an engaging global education. Lawrence.edu.
Humans have developed a unique ability in the animal world. We cry emotional tears. We weep over love lost. We cry from grief. We bawl during sad movies. We even laugh so hard we cry. And a good cry makes us feel better. When neuroscientist Dr. William Fry started to look into the whole business of crying, the ducts and glands that produce tears, he found to his surprise that very little was known about this utterly human response.
All of us can tolerate small changes in emotional stress without crying, but when the intensity of the emotion crosses a certain threshold, it triggers this crying response. Receiving bad news, like perhaps news of the death of a friend or relative, for example, triggers changes in the areas of the brain that are involved in emotion in the limbic system. And the brain then sends signals to various other organs, including the pituitary gland, where hormones are released in response to stress, and to the lacrimal glands, or tear glands, where tears are released in response to stress, and you get emotional crying.
So you're saying that we cry essentially when our body is overloaded, when there's too much stress going on. And I guess it raises the question, what happens if we are feeling that intense stress, but we don't cry?
Well, unalleviated emotional stress over a long period of time is very bad because the hormones that are released during stress from the pituitary gland and the adrenal glands in response to that can actually reduce the ability of the brain to use blood sugar or get energy, and that can result in death of nerve cells in the hippocampus of the brain, an area involved in memory and in regulating emotional response.
So you're saying part of the reason why we cry is it's simply a physical purging. The body is getting rid of certain chemicals.
Yes, I have suggested that perhaps the reason people feel better after crying is that they may be removing in their tears chemicals that build up during stress. And so crying is an excretory process. We see that these tears are coming out of the body when people have emotional crying. And we know that people do feel better after crying. 85% of women and 73% of men who we've studied report they do feel better after crying. People feel less sad or less angry. And it seems to be associated with a reduction of emotional stress.
What are the chemicals in tears?
The chemistry of emotional tears is complex and not well understood. We have shown in our studies that emotional tears are chemically different from other kinds of tears, like those that you might cry in response to eye irritation by onions, for example. We know that there's a higher protein concentration in emotional tears. We also know that tears do contain certain hormones that are thought to be associated with stress. However, we really know very little about the chemistry of tears, and especially emotional tears, because it's difficult to collect them and study them.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how do you actually study this? Does someone hold a little cup under the eye and you somehow induce extreme emotion to see what happens?
That's correct. That's exactly how we do it. We get volunteers, we show them sad movies that we are pretty sure are going to get them to cry, and then we have them hold a little test tube in their hand and collect the tears as they drop out of their eyes into the test tubes. We can then compare those tears with tears that we can get the same individuals on another occasion to cry in response to just exposure to onion vapors from onions that we'll throw into a blender and open up the top and give them a little whiff of that.
But this is fascinating. You're saying that there actually is a different chemical makeup depending on what kind of tears they are. I mean, there's one kind of tear that comes from sniffing and being exposed to an onion. There's a different kind of tear if we watch a very sad movie. And I suppose there would be another kind of tear if we suddenly bang ourselves and the pain is so extreme that we're crying there. Those are all chemically different kinds of tears?
Well, certainly the emotional tears are chemically different from those that we cry just in response to irritation by onions or other things. Whether there are chemical differences between different types of emotional tears, no one has really determined yet.
Do women and men cry in different ways, or is there something biologically going on that separates the two sexes?
Well, men and women cry quite differently, but this doesn't really show up until after the age of about 12. So if you look at boys and girls that are under the age of 12, the data in the literature suggests that they cry really about the same amount. However, between 12 and 18, we see a very significant difference developing between males and females. And we find that as adults, women are crying on the average about 5.3 times a month. Men are crying on the average about 1.4 times a month.
It's amazing how people can actually study this.
Yeah. Well, we've had people keep detailed records of their crying episodes. And the differences in crying are probably related to the fact that, first, the tear glands in men and women are anatomically different. If you look under the microscope at the tear glands of either adult men or women, or of even rabbits or rats, you find that the male and female tear glands are anatomically different. And the reason they are different is probably related to the fact that hormones, particularly the female hormone prolactin and the male hormone testosterone, are different between the sexes. And these hormones are involved in regulating the development of the lacrimal gland.
What do you make of that admonition that many of us have heard, especially boys and men, they're there, don't cry? What does that tell us about society?
Well, I think it's a very unfortunate thing, and it comes from a basic misunderstanding about the whole crying process. And I think, fortunately, that it's changing somewhat over time. You know, first of all, we never need to tell people they're there, don't cry. When people are crying, they're crying because they're upset. And when they feel better or no longer need to cry, they're going to stop. No one's going to just keep crying on and on forever. One of the unfortunate things that happens is that if young boys or even girls are told that they shouldn't be crying, they find out that it's very difficult to get really upset and not cry. But it's much easier if you don't want to cry, it's easier not to allow yourself to get upset in the first place. This means that they have to cut off the emotional process. They have to somehow distance themselves from their feelings. And that is really an unfortunate thing that can cause problems for them later in life.
So how do you think our culture would be different if we felt freer to cry?
Well, I think our culture would be better, and I think it's moving in that direction. I think that it'll be better because, first, people will be able to use this uniquely human process. When you think about it, there aren't any other physiological secretions that humans have that other animals don't, other than emotional tears. There's a reason why this developed in the human being, and we should be taking advantage of that. And so I think it will be better for our health. Secondly, I think that it will be better for interpersonal relations, because when we cry, it's a mechanism of communicating to other people that something that has happened, perhaps even something that they've said to us, is upsetting to us. And also, it's a form of self-disclosure. It's important because it lets us know ourselves that we are upset. Sometimes people don't realize that they're very upset about something until all of a sudden they feel the tears running down their cheeks. And it tells them, gee, that's really sad to me. I remember one time when I was sitting alone, and my children were quite young at the time, and my grandparents were quite old. And I began to think about how sad it was that my children would never get to really know my grandparents the way that I knew them. And that, you know, by the time my children were old enough to really get to know them and remember them, my grandparents would have died. And I all of a sudden felt, you know, these tears running down my cheeks and realized, you know, from that crying process, how upsetting this whole thing was to me. Not just the loss of my grandparents, but also the failure of my, you know, of the circumstances that were going to prevent my children from really getting to know and care about them the way I did. So I think that crying is something that's very important in terms of self-disclosure.
Dr. William Fry. He's director of the Alzheimer's Research Center at Regents Hospital in Minnesota and the author of Crying, A Mystery of Tears. He talked with Steve Paulson.